I had a just kind of a passing comment. I didn't even really think much about it, about Joe Flacco. And someone's like, Joe Flacco was fine last year. He wasn't bad. And look, I'm not going to lie to you and act like I was dissecting the Colts games when he played. You know, I just kind of saw, obviously, he lost his job. We understand why he lost his job. A guy at his age, you know, you're not going to be the starting quarterback for long anywhere. But was he okay last year? I want to make sure that I'm not misrepresenting his season last year. I know that I keep saying Mike Sando. No, somebody had a quarterback list and had him 31st of all the starters.
Because it was fits and starts. It was fits. He played poorly enough at times that they could put in Anthony Richardson and say, like, let's take a look at our future. And the future wasn't very bright, by the way. So, there were problems there. But if I could say anything, I do believe that this isn't saying much because I don't think much Shane Steichen is a head coach. I think he gets caught calling plays to him. I think he helped us beat them a couple years ago in Indianapolis because I don't think he was managing a football game. I don't think he was seeing the entire scope of things. And I don't pay that close of attention to the Colts, to be frank with you. It's one of the teams that I think I would put in the bottom tier of teams that I watch every single week on NFL Plus and on the Next Gen and stuff like that. But I think that I would have much more faith in Kevin Stefanski than I would Shane Steichen with Joe Flacco or really any quarterback for that matter. But I don't mean to be mean-spirited toward Shane Steichen, but so far I just don't think he's learned lessons in the first couple of years as being the head coach of the Colts. So maybe we'll get a little bit better of a Joe Flacco, but I do think that, again, all three of these QBs that are currently on this roster will play. And let me say this, and I said this again yesterday. If Bailey Zappe, of all people, ends up playing for Shador Sanders, I'm going to take my bottom lip and pull it up over my head, and that's just going to be the end of it.
Could you imagine?
There's no way. There's no way.
Because at that point,
there's absolutely no way. It's the first time I would hide from the mic because I've been saying this whole time they wouldn't sabotage him, they wouldn't do what's wrong by him. And by that time, I'm going, if Shador is playing, if he's the third team quarterback, then the season's off the rails anyway. Why wouldn't you just play him? Bailey Zappe cannot play unless. And honestly,
it would have to
unless
be the you opener, would have like the, yes. the opening game.
Yes, thank you.
You
it
go
would have to go
three
that
injuries.
Way, where it's like way too soon for this to happen. Yeah. Then Bailey Zappe could play. That's the only caveat to it. If we're at week 12 and I see Bailey Zappe over Shador Sanders, I'm going to have an aneurysm right here live on the air. It's going to happen. So Aditi is going to join us at 7:20 this morning. I wanted to get to this. Ryan Day, I think he's got Texas right where he wants him. Here's Ryan on having number one Texas in week one.
I think it's great for college football playing a game like this opening weekend. And we're excited to play these guys. You know, it's rare that you would, you know, kind of play someone like this towards the end of the season and start the regular season with them. And I think it's going to give us a great barometer coming out of the first game. But for us, as we talked about before, the preparation starts really early because you got to be on point and we got to play a clean game. That's very, very important. You know, it's an exciting time of year because now we get on the field and figure out where we're at, figure out where the guys are at and go from there.
That's Ryan Day. I totally agree. I think that this is a little bit of a point to it that he didn't make there. I think that Ohio State, I think you can feel a little disrespected.
Ooh.
You're the national champion.
Ohio State gets to play the disrespect card.
But think about this. If you're an Ohio State fan, they're sticking you at noon. They've clearly taken that as a disrespect. And I tried to talk about the business of it, and I'm like, guys, it ain't going to change. Ross Bjork secretly does not care about your feelings. He's not going to make that known because he wants to be a good guy and, oh, it's all about the show. He doesn't care about your feelings. This is going to change. You might as well embrace it. And I got killed for it because, yeah, I don't think you should have to play every single game at noon. I think it is ridiculous, but that's the business of it. You're stuck at noon. You wouldn't move it. Texas wouldn't agree to moving it later.
Right.
At least that's what we're under the impression of. All the conversation is about Texas. All the conversation is about Arch Manning. All the conversation is about them finally being anointed back to where they're supposed to be. All the conversation is about Steve Sarkisian and how great of an offensive mind he is. And he is. And those things are true. Yeah. But, man, you're Ohio State going, I'm sorry, who won the national championship last year? Who ran through these football teams last year? And Texas was the only one that gave him a scare. But of the four teams that they played, three of them were boat raced by Ohio State. I'm sorry, who still has Jeremiah Smith? Who can win a football game with Jeremiah Smith catching just one or two passes because our wide receiver room's so damn deep? Who's the one that has the up-and-coming offensive coordinator? Who's the one that's playing in front of 105,000 of their own fans? So I think that you could, if you were Ohio State, usually this is so manufactured, you have to try your hardest to feel disrespected. And you have to brainwash yourself to it. I think there's a lot of things that are just naturally there.
It's funny. Jeremiah Smith's about the only one I hear getting talked about, which is weird to not hear the Ohio State quarterback, especially, you know, post Jim Tressel. It's been every year Ohio State's had a quarterback that has been good enough to compete,
yeah,
you know, for a national championship. And nobody is talking about the guy that was a Nick Saban recruit that only is at Ohio State because Nick Saban retired, and somebody that got in early and had spring ball, and then he retires, and next thing you know, he's in Columbus. And you would think a guy of that stature would be blockbuster,
mm-hmm,
right? I mean, mm-hmm, he was a big-time recruit. Nothing. You don't hear about him because he's playing again. There only one other team would have had this kind of talk, and it would have been, you know, Bryce Underwood in Michigan because of what a big time guy that is.
And usually an Ohio State quarterback, because of where your brand is and how if you're either loved or hated, I know, don't even start it with me. If you're either loved or hated, if you're Ohio State, usually the Ohio State quarterback would be the biggest story. The first start for an Ohio State quarterback would be the biggest story. You're not the biggest story in the Big Ten at quarterback. Bryce Underwood's the biggest story in the Big Ten at quarterback. And then you're not even the biggest story in your own game because you're going up against Arch Manning. I think it's the perfect setup coming off a national championship where I think it's harder than ever. I do not think you're going to repeat as national champions. I don't think that's putting my guts out there and saying anything. I think it's downright. I thought it was hard before in the previous setup.
Well,
I think it's downright impossible
now. And
what's
the big difference now with NIL and
the
transfers?
Playoff,
the teams are different.
There's attrition. You're not as deep. So I think the championship, the national championship, is out of sight for Ohio State right now. But I don't think there's any better of a situation you can be in to have Texas. There's no South Dakota State, no offense to them. There's no FCS opponent in front of them. There's no, okay, you get FCS team, and then you get a MAC school, and then you have Tech. There's none of that in front of you. There's no chance to get fat on your own essence. It was national championship, spring ball, Texas is right there. You better be ready for Texas, or they're going to go out and they're going to embarrass you. So usually I would say that it's hard to beat a team twice in a calendar year. And I still stand by it. It's going to be tough to beat Texas because it's tough to beat Texas no matter what. But, man, it is all lining up for you that when you're going through changeover with the players you have, the weapons you have, offensively, defensively, there's no better way to keep yourself sharp with some of the best athletes in college football, the best football players in college football, than to take on a team like Texas. There is no chance to get fat on your own ego here. It's perfectly set up tomorrow for Ohio State.
It's funny. The national guys that I've heard talking about this game, they all kind of handicap it as it's going to be a struggle offensively for both teams. But they are talking up Texas's defense big time. And they are, the one thing they're pointing out about Ohio State is, you know, with the coordinator shakeup and, you know, Matt Patricia kind of handling things, that they said this is the time to get Ohio State is right now, week one, because by the end of the year, Ohio State's going to be humming. So I am curious to see that, because if everybody is saying this is going to be, you know, a struggle offensively for both of these teams, you know, what does that mean? Are they going to really be able to neutralize Jeremiah Smith?
If Texas was, I don't mean to cut you off, but if Texas was bringing back a whole bunch on defense, I'd understand you. But I don't think they are.
They got an awesome corner and a first round linebacker, corner.
They got some good football players over there. But you also, I mean, if we're going to do this, we got the Caleb Downs argument we want to make. You're not bringing back as much as what you think you are in Texas. And the wide receiver situation, hey, you have Arch Manning there. He should be able to, because he's as hyped as any quarterback's been over the last 20 years. So if you have Arch Manning there, you should be able to replace Matthew Golden and Isaiah Bond, et cetera, et cetera. You should be able to do that. But we'll only see, and probably by the end of the year, Texas should be in a much better place. I disagree with Danny Cannell. I think these are both playoff teams, and they should probably meet again in the playoffs. But this is a good situation for Ohio State to be in, because you can be laser-focused, iron-sharp, saying that the world is counting against you, that you can't repeat it. I don't know what you're going to do in October when you get into the doldrums of the Big Ten schedule there. Maybe someone's going to come up on you, and they're going to trip you. But with this game right here, I think it's an advantage for Ohio State.
And you will have the Ohio State fans' attention. A lot of noon kickoffs. It's kind of malaise in that building. This will be like
angry.
A night game. I really do believe this is going to be like a night game. So, Arch, let's see it. Let's see. I can't wait. Like, this is one of the rare times. I'm actually excited to see the other team and the other quarterback.
They'll be angry. They'll be loud. They'll be ready to go. It's time.
Daryl's
going to browbeat me coming up at 8:01, but it's Aditi Kinkabwala right now. It's 7:22 on the Fan. Hello, Aditi. Well, it's actually only 7:20. Hello, Aditi.
Good morning.
Aditi appears on the Fan Hotline. How do we start this, Tone? You raised the dander. You got the dander going, Aditi. Did we just give away?
There's another piece of this, too, though, that probably I didn't make as clear or as good of a point there. Pony asked me who is better right now at this very moment. And I said, right now at this very moment, it's Kenny Pickett. But there's another piece here is that the Browns, Andrew Berry and the Browns aren't going to cut loose a guy that they just selected in April. Mm-hmm. But they also clearly believe that his ceiling is higher, that there is growth and development, that with growth and development and maturation and time, his potential is greater than holding on to Kenny Pickett. So there's another piece there as well.
Yeah, I understand totally where you're coming from. Pony can be almost as slippery a wizard as Tone. So,
I thought you were going to play the part where I had to yell at him and say, can you at least let me finish a sentence?
Okay, I have heard
do we have that? Do we have that in the system right now?
This.
It might have went through the system.
I'd love to listen to that back.
Do we have it?
Frankly.
Let's play. Here we go. Let's play. Here we go.
They don't have a quarterback as a franchise. One guy's 40 and the other kid played like hot garbage in the last preseason game. Why would you jettison that guy just because of injury to keep a 40-year-old and a fifth round pick who looked like dog vomit in his final preseason game?
Ultimately, the Browns have always been looking to next year. That's part of why that
Kenny
engineered
fit into
that
next
trade.
Year more than Flacco or Shadur?
Oh my goodness. Can I finish a sentence?
Yes, but I'm allowed to talk too. I mean, it's not like I'm just going to turn the microphone off and let you talk
for
15 minutes.
Of course not, but if you ask me a question, please allow me to at least finish answering the question before you jump in. The Browns engineered that trade out of the number two spot to get an extra first-round pick next year to increase their chances.
I totally agree with you, Aditi. He's a total ass. You don't have to say it. I'll say it. Pony is an ass.
I said please several times, though. At least I said please a few times.
Yeah,
we're very cordial.
Got a little high there, but
you're not gonna go down in the mud with him. You went to an Ivy League school. You're better than that, and we thank you very much for it. Aditi Kinkabwala joining us on the show. I mean, with the context, you're right. I think, but probably Aditi, what I'm frustrated about is that, you know, there's just this lack of clarity of what the goal is. And I think they've set themselves up there to try to thread a needle that's so, so small because you're trying to win enough to stay around, but you're also getting ready for the future. And I also have these two quarterbacks where one has kind of been caught in the middle in the third round. The other one is his fan base, at least, is a force of nature that we've had to talk about him tenfold times more than any other fifth-round pick in the history of the NFL. And it's like, man, this is all before they even kick off against Cincinnati. There's just so much that we have to go through here, Aditi. I'm going, where are we going to be at this time next year getting ready for 2026? We got to get some clarity.
Well, don't give up on this year by any means. I mean, this Browns defense is legitimate. The corner situation, there are still some questions there. I'm still feeling a little bit uneasy about the depth at corner and the slot corner position, but that defensive front, the depth, the talent, the way that Jim Schwartz could legitimately roll lines, I certainly haven't seen that in Cleveland since Jim Schwartz has been there, so that's exciting. Your two rookies that are starting on that defense, you should be as excited about them as you can be. I think the run game will be significantly improved. Everybody knows how much I like Joe Flacco and how great of a story that would be. And anyone who's watched him can still see that he absolutely throws a beautiful football. You know that he's seen everything that is there to see, his experience, his ability to manage everything in the huddle, to read coverages, to get in and out of good play calls, to use all the tools available to him. All of that you should feel good about. And he obviously takes great care of himself. You can sit here and say, okay, he hasn't started a full season since 2017. But you could also say, well, he hasn't started a full season since 2017, so there hasn't been that wear and tear on his body. And it's not like he's an Aaron Rodgers or a Russell Wilson, whoever used his legs as part of his game, so his age is suddenly diminishing a piece of his game. That's not part of it. So You hope that he stays healthy. You hope that he does the things that they expect him to do, the things that Kevin Stefanski keeps saying, hey, this wasn't a competition won by default. This is the person that I felt most comfortable moving forward with. I don't give up on this season at all. I just, the Shedeur Sanders things, guys, it's so hard. And I said this on the radio in Pittsburgh too. He's a really, really likable young man. And I definitely myself, just from my position standing on the sideline, the way that he followed drives his first game versus what he did his third game, the way that he was calling for the iPad the third game, the way that he was sitting and looking at what he had done. You can see it's a young man that is growing. It's a young man that is being exposed to new things and he's taking them in. What accompanies him, I don't know how much that's his fault. I don't see him out there screaming at his fans to call anybody and everybody who says that he didn't play well certain names. You know, I don't know that he's encouraging that. It's just part of what comes with it.
Well, you are so right, Aditi, because so many people want to speak for Shedeur. And I've noted time and time again, you're not hearing anything from him. You're not hearing a peep. If anything, you're hearing a humble guy. And I don't understand where this is all coming from. The follow-up question I wanted to ask you, but Pony would have just screamed over you to ask it because that's his demeanor. It's very sad. Very sad state of affairs.
He's a pig.
You know, no business at this stage of the game. But the question I wanted to know is, would you say the same thing about Dylan Gabriel? Would you say that Kenny Pickett is ahead of Dylan Gabriel right now?
I don't know. I don't know enough to make an informed decision on that. What I would read is that the Browns clearly felt it was close enough in that they are comfortable moving forward with Dylan Gabriel as their number two. If heaven forbid something happens to Joe Flacco and he can't go, they clearly feel that way, that they can trust and be comfortable with Dylan Gabriel. And I think we certainly saw in the way that he's managed the offense, the way that he has been very quick in recognizing what to do, where to go with the ball. The ball gets out of his hands really fast. He makes good decisions. He's obviously very comfortable in that huddle. He's a great leader already at this stage. They felt good about all of that. Maybe part of it, this is pure speculation, but we also heard ownership say that at some point you want to see the young quarterbacks. Maybe that plays into some of it. Maybe, you know, there are a lot of other things that happen behind the scenes that we're not necessarily always privy to. And I said this too, when I left Cleveland on Saturday after having done that game against the Rams, I felt really confident that Kenny Pickett was staying and that the Browns weren't going to move him unless they got some sort of exceptional offer. And I know that Kenny Pickett was very happy in Cleveland, really, really liked the coaching staff, really liked the offense, really liked his teammates, really felt that when he was healthy, he would be able to perhaps push the conversation a little bit. So I even though as soon as Aiden O'Connell got hurt, I had messaged a few people and said, oh, Kenny Pickett could end up there. I left the building. I left the stadium on Saturday thinking he wasn't going anywhere. In fact, I think I told my husband he's not going anywhere. But something changed in between then and Tuesday. And that might have been just a greater security in who Dylan Gabriel is and the stage that Dylan Gabriel is at. You know, it's something I can tell you about him that I've been repeatedly told is how quickly he learns. And he makes a mistake, and there's incredible confidence that he won't make that mistake again. How fast he absorbs what's taught in the meeting room and on the field. So those are things that you feel good about. I just hate that so much of the conversation is about all this other ancillary stuff. And I'm choosing to trust Joe Flacco, who said that the noise inside the building, the noise inside the quarterback room isn't actually that crazy. And that the quarterback room is pretty much like a typical quarterback room. So that sort of, I hope, gives fans some solace that even as everybody on the outside is sort of a Twitter and crazy and going nuts, maybe inside they're not really as affected by that.
Aditi Kingabwala joining us here on the Fan Hotline. You know, I wonder if we're asking the right question, because it's been, you know, ever since Joe was named the starter, it was, how long's the leash on Joe? And I'm thinking, is that, hearing you talk, Aditi, maybe it's not the right question. Maybe the question should be, instead of the leash on Joe, is it more the process for Dylan? Like, hey, we can talk about a leash on Joe, but if Dylan's ready to take over, maybe even if they're a 3-3 team, say there's something like that, maybe it's Dylan Gabriel who gets put into the position.
I can't speak to that. I don't know. I remember in New York, it wasn't a leash on Kurt Warner. It wasn't a leash on Kurt Warner. It was Eli Manning. And I believe, you probably know this, I believe the Giants were 7-4, right? Didn't they have a winning record?
I believe so.
When Eli Manning ultimately went in? This is a different situation, because I believe the Giants right now feel that they have their future in Jackson Dart. And maybe the Browns think that Dylan Gabriel is their franchise quarterback for the next 15 years. I don't know. But I know that the Giants think that Jackson Dart is their future. I don't think there it's as much about a leash on Russell Wilson and how they start the season. I think there it's, okay, when do we feel ready to put Jackson Dart in? When do we feel confident and comfortable with everything that's happening around the quarterback position with the New York Giants? That's something that the Patriots did a year ago when they didn't necessarily trust their offensive line. And so they threw Jacoby Brissett out there early as they tried to settle in before they let Drake May go in. I don't believe that that's the situation in Cleveland. I really believe the Browns can win games with Joe Flacco. You know how bullish I am on him. I've said that he was the better quarterback last year in Indianapolis. He did some pretty tremendous things without any preparation, thrown into games at the last minute, getting a starting assignment at the last minute. But in Indianapolis, you're not giving up on a guy that you used a number 4 overall pick on until you really have no other option. So obviously Anthony Richardson was going to keep getting every opportunity, even if Joe Flacco was the better option there. And if you look, these stats are running around. Like, last 17 games, Joe Flacco versus Patrick Mahomes, it's jarring. Joe Flacco, it's jarring in the sense that it's essentially the same. It's very similar. I think Flacco's numbers are actually a little bit better. Joe Flacco can still play. The Browns are running an offense that they've had a ton of success with under Kevin Stefanski. They're not doing the nonsense that they did a year ago. They have 4 healthy veteran offensive linemen who've played together for a long time and feel good about where they are. And their left tackle is coming along. And clearly, they like this receiver group and believe that there's a lot of potential in these young guys. So I'm not sitting here saying, okay, everybody, let's prepare for the Super Bowl. But I've said it and I'll say it again. I don't think the Browns are going to be as bad as sort of the national conversation seems to think they will be. I actually think the Browns can do some good things here. So let Joe Flacco go do those good things. And I don't know that the Browns are giving up on the season at 3-3. You look at the way the season starts, and granted, every single year is different, guys. So it's not, we can sit here and say, oh, that's a murderer's row. But coaches don't think that way. They don't say, oh, this team did this last year, and so therefore, it's sort of each week is its own new week. But what if Joe Flacco is 9-3? Why would you pull him? Why? You know, so I think this is all on the Browns offense and Joe Flacco and how they play. And it's all part of the puzzle in some way. It's hard. You now need to develop these young quarterbacks. You need to make sure that they get enough reps. You know that in the meeting room, your priority is to win games. Your priority is to prepare your number one offense and your number one quarterback. And that's on the field and in the meeting room. But simultaneously, you want to bring these young guys along so you get a really good handle on who they actually are and what their potential and their ceiling is.
At A. King of Walla on social media, did Micah Parsons, the haul that the Dallas Cowboys got, did it make you think about Miles? And Could the Browns have got two first-round picks for Myles Garrett?
Oh, for sure. We talked about that in the spring, didn't we?
I'm sure we did.
Of course they could have gotten for two first-round. I think they could have gotten more for Myles than the Cowboys got for Micah, frankly.
I was,
but obviously, go ahead.
Well,
were you surprised? Were you surprised?
I was surprised they actually made the move. They've been through this a million times, and I figured they'd just sign him and everybody would move on and act happy. I heard Jerry Jones speak, and then I had a big pit in my stomach because I tried to apply logic to it before. But you know, I look at Myles, and I think Myles and Micah are in the same. I said they're in the same cul-de-sac of pass rushers. I mean, these are two Defensive Player of the Year candidates every single year. But Micah is 4 years younger, and I thought, man, you got to pay him once you make that trade. And I go, yeah. Would we have got two first-round picks for Myles Garrett? Because I think by the end of it, they're both first-ballot Hall of Famers, Aditi. So it's like, well, we're splitting hairs here, except for the fact that one is 4 years older. So I don't know if we're getting two first-round picks.
I was told back in the spring when Myles first demanded, or winter, whatever we want to call it, demanded a trade, I spoke to multiple front office people who said, yes, he would be worth two first-round picks. And I remember having extended sort of, I mean, we don't ever get any input in this, but you can still have philosophical, rhetorical conversation with friends. I remember talking to a member of the Cleveland media, would you take the first-round picks and rebuild? And, you know, look, Andrew Berry got himself an extra first-round pick at the draft just a few months later. So you get a guy that affects the game maybe better than any other defensive player in the National Football League, a guy that offenses feel on the field more than perhaps anybody else. Plus, you got yourself an extra first-round pick. Plus, you got yourself a really good player to play with Myles Garrett and Mason Graham. You know, so we'll see how it all plays out. I think that you look at the Ravens and how Eric DaCosta signed Kyle Hamilton, and I think that they do such an exceptional job of signing their guys before it gets to a point where it can be contentious. Mm-hmm. And they don't worry about, well, we don't do this before this time period, the way, for example, the Steelers do, and the mess that they got in with TJ Watt twice. I appreciate and I admire that approach. And I think the other thing that the Ravens do is that they recognize who their beasts are, who their engines are, and they don't really care if conventional wisdom or analytics say, well, you don't pay that position first, or this isn't the position that matters. If center is the position that makes your line go, and if that guy means so much to your team, then they pay their center. If this guy's a safety, and in general, you don't pay a safety before you pay an end and a linebacker, well, they don't care, because they love Kyle Hamilton. They think Kyle Hamilton is that good. They think Kyle Hamilton matters that much to their defense. So they go ahead and they pay him before any of the nonsense sets in. And I appreciate that, at least. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that gets enough credit. You know, this week we talked so much about the mess made in Dallas, but why didn't we talk about the mess not made, the mess avoided in Baltimore?
Aditi, thank you so much for the time. It's always wonderful when you join us. You know we're going to do it again soon. All the best. Thank you.
Anytime. I am always eager to join you. And Lima and Ken, thank you for allowing me to complete thoughts.
See, it's the two of us that we don't allow each other to complete each other's thoughts.
We'll be
well, that's fine.
Other.
You have each other every day. You can talk over each other. Yeah. But I get easily flustered when I can't get a thought out.
I'm sorry about Pony's behavior, Aditi. Aditi, thank you for the time. Goodbye. Aditi Kikabala on the Fan Hotline. All right.
I told you when I texted a buddy just now who said Aditi got him fired up and he thinks they could win 9 games now.
Okay, well, if they can win 9 games and hold on to Myles is then important, and then it's worth it. But if you're only going to win less than 6 games, if you guys are all calling me a homer, moron, idiot, and I'm just an emotional basket case, and I'm carrying water, and Kenny Haslam, and all the other things that you guys call me on this sort of thing, then yeah, I guess then they really messed up the pooch, and they should have went ahead, and they should have traded him for 2 first-round picks. Yes, Owen, I'm sorry.
I don't think that they're going to win 6 games unless one of the young guys is your quarterback of the future. Because at some point, just like last season, and I've brought it up multiple times, at some point they go, okay, the season's a failure. We need to find a new plan. And they had to start after the Denver game last year. They decided it's no longer worth winning. It's no longer worth trying to win. And that's how they became a 3-win team instead of a 6-win team.
Because it does sound in a lot of ways like if we say that, it's like, well, they're Cleveland guys. It's like, no, they were not trying to win that last month of the season, which I think does contribute to some of the people's malaise when they go, what, you guys are sitting here wasting more time on a fifth-round pick? And it's like, well, he's not a normal fifth. And then we do the whole thing because they don't have a lot of trust in the front office. They do not have a lot of faith in this football team, and they're not going to have a lot of faith, frankly, unless they change their opinions this year or those guys are gone.
So what if I
take that back? There's one other way. It's if Jim Schwartz is the head coach the last month of the season.
And Greg Williams-esque.
And he goes, I got nothing to lose. Let's try to win games.
Then we're going to make Tommy Rees the head coach. And we're going to repeat history.
Yep.
And Jim would have to have multiple M's at the end of his first name.
He'd have to have at least four.
What the excitement level? I want to ask you real quick. The excitement level of this team, had they have just traded Myles Garrett, it would have been a malaise from day one, right?
It flatlined.
Except, what if the trade-off was Shedeur Sanders starts week one? Well, I don't know how long that would last, but what would that excitement level be like?
Right now, I get the best of both worlds. But it would not be exciting. I think I would be really, 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 really disliked by a lot of the Shedeur fans that are dropping in on us. What?
Well, right now the excitement or the potential excitement of Shedeur starting right now was, well, at least you've got this defense that has a Hall of Famer on it, at least one. It's got Denzel Ward. Schlesinger looks like he's something, right? If there's no Myles Garrett, I don't know that you have as much faith in wins this season.
That's true. And you don't have as much faith in Mason Graham or Schlesinger, just like you said. You don't have as much faith in the secondary, and the secondary needs all the faith it can get right now because you have Denzel Ward back there and then a collection of question marks, if not stiffs.
Stiffs.
Well, what do you...
hey, Mom, I got drafted in the NFL. I'm a Cleveland... Guy in Cleveland says stiff.
Four new stiffs in the secondary this year for the Browns.
Principal Skinner, prove me wrong, children. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong, Donovan McMillan.
By the way, I always wondered, I used to use this all the time on the news. when you would get drafted by a certain hockey team and you told your parents, oh, where are you? What team are you playing for? I'm Predator.
Why?
I'm happy to be a Predator.
Did we get to that? You did that on the news?
On the news, yeah.
Why would you do that on the news?
I just thought it was a weird team name to be associated with.
I think that's any reason why I don't see you on the news.
It might be. You might be onto something.
Judas Priest.
It's been my lifelong goal to be a Predator. Today I'm a Predator, and I'm happy once and for all to retire a Predator and go in the Hall of Fame as a Predator.
You're an animal.
I will forever be known as the greatest Predator of all time.
We're not going to get to the Nick Wright thing. It's okay. It's fine. We'll do it later. I'll do it. I might do it after Daryl, actually. Daryl joins us at 8:02. So you go back to Shedeur real quick, the whole Shedeur thing. I like Shedeur. I want him to play at some point this year because I don't think they're going to win more than six games. I picked him to win six games now. I never once said I want him to start the season. If he was starting the season, I'd be sick. Absolutely sick. Because then I would call him Deshaun Kizer all over again and that this team isn't going in the right direction. Because I had to scream and yell and get mad years ago. Well, Ken, he's the most talented quarterback on this roster. Yeah, he's not the most ready. Joe is the most ready. The second most ready, I can buy their logic of second most ready is Dylan Gabriel. Dylan Gabriel does look like the second most ready. I think the guy with the higher ceiling out of the two is Shedeur.
Is there not a world?
And if Miles wasn't there, it would be a flatlined excitement for the football
team. I'm curious from the Shedeur people that are in the chat right now, and this goes
in the chat.
And this goes for the people that love Shedeur. We had on last week from CBS somebody who absolutely loved Shedeur and thought the Browns were doing him dirty. Yeah,
Emery might have been earlier this week.
Emery, it was this week. Emery
was
a
long week.
Great guest. We got into it in a very cordial manner.
Very nice.
But is there a world, Shedeur fans, where 10 years from now, 15 years from now, Shedeur Sanders has a very good NFL career, gets to the playoffs, wins some playoff games, franchise quarterback in this league, and people ask him, what was the key? What was it about your ability as a fifth rounder to move up and eventually become a franchise quarterback? And he says, I needed that first year to watch.
Patrick Mahomes said the same thing.
But people are telling me there's no way that could work out. And I'm like,
why can't that work out?
Is there not a chance that maybe he is behind right now?
Now,
maybe everybody isn't lying to you. Maybe the Browns actually know for once in their lives.
Because people are.
Is there a chance?
Because we got to live in real life here. See, this is part of what, and I wanted to play this, but we are not going to have enough time. Like, Nick was going nuts yesterday on First Things First, which ended up looking goofy because they ended up making the trade with Micah Parsons and the Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys. And he was ranting and raving about that, saying that this is internet stuff, this isn't real, and then all of a sudden they make the trade. Because fans are more powerful than they ever have been. So when we have to talk about these things that 10 years ago would have been stupid and a waste of time, no, because people talk now more than they ever have. So we have to talk about these things. And yes, that plays into it. But there are people on the internet who all they want to do is win their argument, and they want to win it as soon as they possibly can. And that is not real life, and they do not understand that you're not putting them in a good situation. The quarterback that we saw on Saturday was not in a good situation, and it wasn't because he was sabotaged. It's because he's simply not ready to harness what he can do yet in the NFL and harness what he can do within this offense. And I'm hoping that a little bit of time just to breathe. Again, if Bailey Zappe plays over him, I'm going to lose my mind.
We will all lose our minds.
I will lose my mind. I will scream and yell and rant and rave, and furious anger will come out of me. There is no way on earth, on God's green earth, I can deal with a season where that guy starts over Shador Sanders. That said, Shador simply isn't ready just yet. And I want him to have a little bit of time to breathe before he's ready. Because, yeah, Dylan is more ready with the offense than Shador. That ain't a knock on anybody. But Joe's better than all, or more ready than all of them, and Joe should be the one starting the season. And Daryl Ryder should be the one yelling at me in 5 on the Fan.